Who is Barabbas in the Bible, and why did we choose him instead of Jesus Christ?
Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Did Jesus answer to his father? If Jesus is God, then who is the Father? Are there two gods?
Our guests answer your questions, so stay right here. I'm Crystal Lewis.
I'm Rebecca Fanai. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. If you have questions, we want to connect you with Spirit-led answers.
That's right. Each week, we go through lots of submissions that you guys send in and schedules qualified guests to answer the questions that you have. So don't forget to submit your questions. You can text us or call in with your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Don't forget to leave us an email so we can contact you back. So, Crystal, can you do the honor of introducing our guest for today?
That's right. Joining us today, we have Dr. Galena Stelly. In 1996, Dr. Stelly was the first woman to graduate with a doctorate of ministry from Andrews University. She is a widely published author and has served in various positions, including professor of the theology at Zelsky Theological Seminary in Russia and director of the Institute of Missiology. She currently serves as the associate director for women's ministry at the General Conference. Welcome, Dr. Stelly.
My pleasure.
Also joining us today, we have Dr. Bertram Melbourne. Dr. Melbourne currently serves as professor of biblical language and literature at the Howard University School of Divinity. In addition to being a New Testament scholar, pastor, published author, and educational administrator, he's also the founder and president of the interfaith organization Collaborate to Educate Our Sons. Welcome back, Dr. Melbourne. We're so honored and glad that you can join us today.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again.
And before we get started with our questions, we want to share a verse for you for today found in Psalm 27, verse 1. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And I love this verse so much because it reminds us that we should not be afraid because the Lord is our light and our salvation. Sometimes we may be experiencing fear through our trial and through our tribulation, but always remember that the Lord is your light and your salvation. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are very thankful that you are our light and our salvation. Allow us to not be afraid. Allow us to continue to trust you in every single thing that we do. Be with us, Lord, as we're going to dive into the word. Allow us to learn something so that we can apply it to our lives. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In our praying name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So, Rebecca, what is our first question?
All right, let's dive right in. We received a text from Michael, and he asked, "Who is Barabbas in the Bible, and why did we choose him instead of Jesus Christ?" Now, Dr. Stelly, I want to ask you this question first. So Michael is asking us, why Barabbas instead of Jesus? What was the context on this?
Well, thank you so much for this question. It's a really interesting question, especially when we are in springtime, when we have Passover. So this episode is connected to Passover. Barabbas was a robber and he was a prisoner. He was a murderer and he was chosen over Jesus. But let us read the story, the context. And we will read Gospel of Matthew 27. We will read 15 through 18 and then 20 through 21. And I will read from English Standard Version. So, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had them a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. And from 20th, verse number 20, "Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, 'Which one of two do you want me to release for you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.'" And then we can also read from Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, 18 through 19. "But they all cried out together, 'Away with this man!' and released to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection started in the city and for murder. So we see that Barabbas was a prisoner, he was a murderer, he was involved in revolt in the city, and but priests and Pharisees, they kind of persuaded the crowds to choose him instead of Jesus. And it is very interesting that the name of Barabbas has a special meaning, because it consists of two words, Bar and Abar, and it means son of the father. And so we see that it is very symbolic, because the Son of God, Jesus, died to give life to another son of the father, Barabbas. And so Barabbas stands as a symbol for all of us, because Jesus died instead of us to give us his heavenly father's sons and daughters life.
Thank you, Dr. Shtelli. That is a new perspective that I haven't really studied before either. So thank you for sharing that. Also want to ask Dr. Melbourne if you would like anything else to the question.
That was a very good answer. Perhaps the only thing I might want to add to that is the notion that we have to be careful of our choices. It was the rulers, the leaders, that persuaded the people to choose Barabbas over Jesus. We have to be careful that we do not allow anyone else to influence our choice. We need to know the master for ourselves and make the choices for ourselves.
Thank you, Dr. Melbourne, for adding that insight as well. Should we go to the next question?
Our next question comes to us from Ashley via text. And the question is, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Did Jesus answer to his Father? If Jesus is God, then who is the Father? Are there two gods? Interesting question here, Dr. Melbourne, that we received from Ashley. What does the Bible have to say about this?
Yes, this is an interesting question. And I begin by saying, on earth, the human Jesus kept in close contact with the Father, praying for support. One must remember that he did not overcome as God, but he overcame as man, showing us how we can overcome the enemy. Now, to the matter of who is the Father, God is one, but the Godhead is made up of three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At creation, according to Genesis 1:28, it says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. The plural, us, and our are significant. The best illustration I can think of is Matthew 3:16-17. And it reads, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Son was in the water, the Spirit descended as a dove, and the Father spoke. Three distinct persons, three distinct functions, but united in purpose and united for one goal, working together. So not three gods, but one God in three persons working, cooperating together. And as a human being, Jesus depended for support from the Father. He prayed to the Father. And if we are to be overcomers, we need to follow his example and keep in constant contact with the Father.
Thank you for that, Dr. Melbourne. The point that she made about being united together and working together is a great illustration for this question. Thank you for saying that or explaining that. And Dr. Stelly, is there anything else you would like to add to this question here?
I would like to say that, you know, when Jesus was resurrected and when he was about to go to heaven, he also confirmed that through the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, the last verses we read in 19 and 20 verses, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus also presents this unity between the three, the Trinity. And he asks us to remember that we have this great support in heaven that will be always at our side.
Thank you, Dr. Shelley, for adding that verse to this question as well. Thank you.
Our next question, we received another text, and it asked, "Why is the time different in John chapter 4, verse 53, when Jesus healed the son of the royal officer? In the NIV, it says 1 in the afternoon, and in the KJV, it says the seventh hour." Dr. Shelley, so why do we have these two different versions of the Bible telling us perhaps maybe a different time? Do we have an explanation from the Bible as well?
So, yes, this is very interesting, but in reality, there is no contradiction. These translations give us two different systems of counting time. So when we look at King James Version, it counts time according to Jewish tradition, and they start counting time, daytime, from 6 a.m. So if you add from 6 a.m. 7 hours, it will be 1 hour, so 1 p.m., 1 hour in the afternoon. A New International Version does that. He gives us modern translation, modern counting of time, 1 p.m. So there is no contradiction, and there is not just one case of such in translation when they give different system of time. I would like also to bring here Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. If we look at the New International Version, we will read, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. The time is before dawn." And if we look at the same verse in King James Version, we will see, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." And we can say, what kind of fourth watch? And actually, because they started counting daytime from 6 a.m., they finished day hours at 6 p.m. And from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m., it was night hours, night watch. And they divided it into 3 hours, so 4 watches. And the last fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So Jesus walked on the sea during that time. And if we look at another example, when Jesus died on the cross, we can read from Luke 23:44, New King James Version. "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." So ninth hour, if we count from 6 a.m., it will be 3 p.m. And if we read the same verse in the New International Version, we will read, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon." So we can see that New International Version and King James Version, they are consistent. King James Version gives us Jewish tradition of counting time, while New International Version gives us modern system of counting time.
Thank you, Dr. Shelley, for clarifying that and answering, and just pointing out with examples as well from the Bible of not a contradiction, rather just a different system, a different way of counting time. Thank you.
As we pause for a break, remember Hope.Study has more than devotionals. For an example, Story Encounters, The Chosen, hosted by Ty Gibson and David Astrick, is a discussion and Bible course which goes deeper into the theological issues addressed in the popular series, The Chosen.
If you would like a physical Bible study guide, we also have those. We will mail guides to you for free in North America. Just give us a call and leave us your address, and we will get those sent to you. Now it's time for that break, but don't go anywhere because we have more of your Bible questions to explore when we come back.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember, you can call or text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Then watch to see if one of our guests answers your question.
Our guests answering your questions today are Dr. Shtelly and Dr. Melbourne. Let's go ahead into our next question.
Our next question comes to us via text from Glynis, and the question is, the thief on the cross was not baptized, so why should I be? Dr. Melbourne, interesting question here, another interesting question. So why should we be baptized if the thief on the cross was not?
Good question. Mark 16 and verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Peter at Pentecost called on those who believed to be baptized. Now, I'd like to posit that the thief on the cross is the exception and not the rule. He was in the process of execution and did not have the opportunity for baptism. Understanding his situation, as well as the fact that he had repented and how eager his desire was, Jesus extended an olive branch to him and allowed him to be saved without baptism. If one is sick, bedridden, or in a situation that would prevent or preempt baptism, consideration can be given to such an individual to not be baptized in the regular way. Otherwise, I believe obedience to God's command is what is required of all of us. Also, do not forget that the same Jesus who made the exception for the thief on the cross in his great commission instructed his disciples to go into all the world and baptize those who believed. So this has been the practice through the centuries. And I would urge you or anyone, the questioner or anyone who believes in Jesus Christ to show this outward sign of the inner relationship that they have with Jesus Christ through the process of baptism, which Jesus submitted himself to and recommends to all of us.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Melbourne. And I can understand where Glynis is coming from with this question, but you've provided some great insight and a great verse that we can look back at. Thank you so much for that. And Dr. Shtelly, anything else you would like to add to this question here?
I just would like to say that baptism is a very interesting ceremony. It is actually a covenant with God. And if you would like to be a God's child, if you would like to come into this covenant, why not to do that? Because it will be a witness before the whole universe that from that day on, you decided to be a member of heavenly family. And I think, and I would encourage everyone who would like to be God's, who would like to be in God's family, to make this covenant and don't hesitate.
Thank you, Dr. Shtelly, for providing that insight as well. Thank you.
For our next question, we received a voicemail from Audrey. Let's take a listen.
I would like to ask a question. It's for my daughter-in-law, and I don't know how to answer her. I know that when you die, you go to sleep, and the next thing you know is the coming of Christ, and you're raised from the dead. She believes that your soul goes to heaven. Where can I find text that I can give her to read for herself? She says she doesn't want to die unless she knows God has her soul.
Thank you, Audrey, for sending that in. Very, very good question. So, Dr. Shtelly, I want to pass this on to you. Audrey here wants to know, where in the Bible can we find direct text to pointing that when we pass or when we die here, that our soul doesn't go straight to heaven, but we wait for the second coming of Jesus?
Okay, I would like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 5, 6, and 10 verses. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share. If in anything done under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So we see that here, that person who dies, he doesn't have or he cannot do anything in the grave. Everything just vanished. And we also know that Jesus, when he went to resurrect Lazarus, he also called death sleep. He says, let's go. Because Lazarus, our friend, now fell asleep. And I'm going to wake him up. And when disciples did not understand what he was talking about, he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. So he called death asleep. And we also have a formula in the Bible what soul means. And we can read in Genesis chapter, second chapter, and we can read verse 7, where we have the description how a man was created. And we read there that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we see that living being or soul, it means when you have a body and you have a breath of life that God gave you. If breath of life passed away, there is no more, just the body who rests until resurrection.
Thank you, Dr. Shtelly, for explaining from the beginning of time the creation and how soul and the idea of what we understand came about. Dr. Melbourne, also would like to give you time to give us some more insights. Are there any other verses that you would like to share with Audrey?
Yes, I'd like to add Psalm 146, verses 3 to 4. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. So we were made from dust, as Genesis 2:7 says, and at death we return to dust. And Job says in Job 19:26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. And Paul adds, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. So at death, we return to dust, and we remain that way until the trumpet shall sound, and God shall call us to be reunited with him.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Melbourne, for answering that. You know, Crystal, I think there's grace in this too. If some of us pass away and our soul, let's say so, just go up to heaven, then it's kind of an unfair situation, wouldn't it be? Some of us would get to go to heaven earlier than others, which I would like to go to heaven soon as well, right? But seeing God's grace in all of this is when he comes back again. He's going to take all of us together with Amen. Him to see him. Amen. And I can't wait for that day. Thank you both for answering that question. And thank you again, Dr. Shtelly and Dr. Melbourne, for joining us today. I have learned so much from our discussion and diving deep into the Bible, and I'm sure that our viewers have as well.
And thank you for joining us today as well. Keep sending in your questions, and we will keep helping you find answers. And don't forget to check out our website and our YouTube account for video on demand questions and answers from Bible Help Desk. And as always, you can send in your questions by texting us or calling and leaving your voicemail or messaging us on Facebook or on our Instagram pages.
Thank you again for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.